For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City.
Party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Woo! Presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
From the start of the NFL season, and Joshy DiMaggio is sending me text messages about Christian Watson dropping balls in OTAs. Justin Garcia in for Ben Bruss, your cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. How much of that do you read into, Justin? Because, again, we've got Jason Wilder, who's going to join us in approximately 15 minutes, who's talking about Christian Watson maybe not being as big and bulky and strong as expected. We've got Josh DiMaggio sending tweets out about how Watson had another drop against air in drills today. This from Andy Herman, talking about his hands being questionable at this point. You say that it's more likely that the Packers win less than 10 games than more than 12 games, which we have posted on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. And you hear this about the wide receiver they picked first in the NFL draft, 35 overall, so second round, but very beginning of the second round. Do you care?
So there's a couple of things. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that basically the start for Davante Adams, too? Man, this guy's dropping a lot of passes.
Davante Adams, big time, yep. MVS?
Yeah, and that unfortunately persisted throughout his time in Green Bay.
He's still making $10 million a year, which is insane.
Good if you can get it. But the Christian Watson thing is a little... Here's the troubling part. I didn't expect him to be big and bulky anyway when you look at his highlights. To hear, like, yeah, not what we expected in terms of size. That's a little concerning in terms of when will he be available to make an impact. I don't think many of us expect Christian Watson's going to be the number one guy and take over this offense. It's going to take some time. But having said that, that's still not great to hear.
No, I mean, obviously you want rave reviews coming out of camp, but then again, you also get the crap that we get about Amari Rodgers being in the best shape of his life and how he's primed for a massive year, and you're sitting there like, well, of course, you're the wide receiver coach. The guy's biggest problem last year was probably confidence. You could tell by the way he tried to catch a punt with his feet, and, you know, next thing you know, like, his wide receiver coach trying to pump full confidence. So it is interesting to hear it. I don't account it for much. I think that you're right, Justin. The expectation for Christian Watson isn't necessarily going to be for him to step in and be the number one. The expectation is for none of these guys to be the number one. And it's not going to happen this year where, in my opinion, unless they bring somebody else in, none of these guys is going to be even comparable to what Davante Adams was as far as how they use him.
A number one. Somebody has to be the number one.
I don't know if that's going to be the case for this team, though. Like, yes, somebody will lead the team in receptions, will lead the team in receiving yards. They might be two different people. But, like, you're going to get leaders in that respect. I think you're going to have part of the season where Randall Cobb is going to be the number one because he's healthy and he's working the middle of the field. I know. It's ridiculous. We're talking last year about Randy Cobb being a part of the team because he's buddies with Aaron Rodgers, which is the truth. But here we are 100 days out from the NFL season, and if they don't add anybody, and I'm of the belief they'll continue to add, it ain't Sammy Watkins. Right?
No.
Who is the number one right now?
Alan Lazard.
I think it's Aaron Jones at this point.
Well, yeah, but can you say the running back's the number? I guess, right? Last year, the last couple of years in New Orleans when Michael Thomas was hurt, Alvin Kamara seemed to be their number one receiver. Christian McCaffrey's done it. Maybe that's the case. You have A.J. Dillon. You have Aaron Jones. And do you trust Matt LaFleur to be able to put that creativity to use?
I do. I mean, I think, like we've said before, I think that's kind of LaFleur and it seems like Goody are aligned there, that's kind of where they want to head. When you look at what the Niners have done recently, even some of those Patriots Super Bowl teams, I mean, we kind of sweep under the rug the fact that it was Gronk and a lot of reception out of the backfield from guys like James White. You had other guys to throw to, but it wasn't a superstar receiving core. So we've seen a lot more of that in recent years. I think that's what they want to do. I don't know if that's what the quarterback wants to do.
It will be fascinating to find out to how Aaron Rodgers responds this season when his words are leading you to believe that he wants to step up as a leader in the organization, as somebody who's going to make sure, in his words, right, and from Pat McAfee show, after the first round of the NFL draft, he talked about how he's going to, hey, I know the receiving room's a little looks different, but I'm going to make sure that it works out. I do think at some point we're going to get a straight up Aaron Rodgers blow up of like, okay, you know, now this is real to me and I can't trust you to run the right route. I can't trust you to catch the ball. I can't trust you to get open, and he's going to get frustrated. I wonder, putting on my tinfoil cap here, if Aaron Rodgers sent Randall Cobb to OTAs to try to make sure that this team is better, right?
I mean, Aaron, he has him as the mole, basically.
The coach of like, hey, you got to work with these guys. I know I said I'm going to be the guy that does it, but maybe Randy can go there and make sure that Amari Rodgers is running the right route and has a little bit of confidence and swagger. He's going to be the guy that, you know, tells Allen he's the number one, and he's going to help this wide receiver room, figure it out. And Chef Ed chimes in on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, says, I give total props to Randy Cobb. He has shown up every day, and that he has Aaron Rodgers with conspicuous absence. And it wasn't just Chef Ed who's shown appreciation for Randall Cobb and him showing up every day to OTAs. It's also Coach Matt LaFleur.
It means everything, and he's such a leader in that room, not only on offense, but he's been sitting there in those special teams meetings and doing a great job with that and being able to help a lot of these young guys out.
And that's the only thing it can be to me, because Joshie, I think you brought it up too, of if you're Aaron Rodgers, is part of you like, hey, what are you doing? Like, you make me look worse by not going, by showing up to those OTAs. And it very much reminds you too of when you have like a group invite of, hey, this is going on. You guys are all invited, and you just wait one by one to see who's going. Like, I want to make sure there's people that I like there, and you misread the situation and show up and realize, oh, none of the people I wanted to talk to showed up to this, and here I am. Like, that seems like what Randy Cobb stepped into.
Stuck with all the youngins right there, all the young guys, and he's the old head in the room. And yeah, I mean, you could be right. Like, maybe he got tricked into it, but I wonder if he's a mole in that spot.
What does it say for Randall Cobb to show up in that? Because he's not as long as Aaron Rodgers is on the team and he's willing and capable to play basketball, his roster spot's guaranteed, right? We all think that.
Randall Cobb's roster spot is guaranteed.
So what does it say about Randall
Cobb? He's going to be the Udonis Haslam of the Green Bay Packers.
So what does it say about Randall Cobb that he, despite having his future set and having no concern about not making the roster, he's showing up every day while some of those other guys aren't?
It tells
namely me Aaron Rodgers.
He needs to learn how to answer a question with a question, that he misread the situation and it should have been OTAs. You come in, who's going to be there?
It tells me that the reason why we feel like his position is guaranteed on the team is the reason why he's there, and that's Aaron Rodgers. It's him, Aaron, saying, hey, we're going to need you this year, Cobb. Go and figure it out with this room. You've been part of the best wide receiver rooms in the history of this organization. If you think back to that Sports Illustrated cover, they had like seven incredible weapons and Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and JerMichael Finley, Jordy Nelson, Randy Cobb, James Jones. I mean, it was a who's who of weapons around Aaron Rodgers. And he's saying, go and get that wide receiver room right. And I'll keep you here in Green Bay as long as I'm here in Green Bay.
Well, the answer is like, go do it your damn self, Aaron.
Yeah, but he can't say that. I mean, that's, again, I'm surprised. I feel foolish that I'm so surprised that Aaron Rodgers hasn't shown up to OTAs, at least from a, not even from an optics standpoint, but from a leadership culture standpoint of like, I'm here, I'm in it with you guys. I signed back with the Packers because I want to win a championship. He could have gone anywhere. As much as, you know, people are like, well, he got the money and this is what he is. He could have gotten that money anywhere. He could have gotten in Denver. Denver was clearly making overtures for him. They clearly wanted him. And he had a coach there he was comfortable with in Nathaniel Hackett. And he said, you know what? I want to stay in Green Bay. You'd think it's because he's doubling down and he's going to go into a straight, like, you know, late Jordan mode, not Wizards, late Bulls Jordan mode of like, I'm doing this to win. We're going to do everything it takes in order to win a championship, and I will drag the roster with me. And now here he is hanging out at a cryptocurrency event and then playing the match with Tom Brady and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
If they're 9-8 this year, isn't that kind of Jordan Wizards?
Well, it's Jordan Wizards, but this is still Jordan on the Bulls.
We hope.
I guess.
Are we late phase Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think so. I feel like Justin Garcia is down on Aaron Rodgers, though. I got to go back to something. You said he was not the best quarterback in the league. You said he was top five. Where is he? And give me the music, Joshy. Justin Garcia's top five NFL quarterbacks on May 31st, 2022.
Please, God, start at five. Don't do it the best way.
I was going to start at three.
Ben goes every list one to...
Who does that? It explains a lot. Okay. Number five for the top five. I actually made a list for this too, guys. You caught me off guard, sort of. Number five for this list. As of right now, Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. That is number five.
He's for the record, he homer-wise pulled out a hard copy piece of paper that he wrote on
right here
when he looked at the list. Right that there. Was not a joke. Okay, sorry.
Joe Burrow, number Joe five. Burrow. He is number five on the list of current NFL quarterbacks. Number four is Tom Brady. Still getting it done for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Back in the league. We almost had to scratch him off and insert somebody else there. Thank God it's not a top six, but Tom Brady is number five. Number three is Aaron Rodgers. Number two is Patrick Mahomes, and number one is Josh Allen.
Wow.
I don't... In Wisconsin, I think that's controversial. I don't think from a large aspect that would be that way.
I guess I ask about the recency bias, because those two guys playing in the AFC Championship last year looked like a different sport than you would see two mere mortal quarterbacks. And Mahomes has more longevity of doing it. Now, Josh Allen showed the greatest improvement at the quarterback position possibly in the history
from year
of the
one
NFL.
So I
get it, but Aaron's the four-time MVP.
We act like third-best quarterback out of 32 starters in the league is a bad thing.
When you're Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's pretty damning. And Tito Hopeboy chimes in. You hear him twice a day on the show at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. He sings our intro song. Says, tell Justin that Josh Allen hasn't even done it long enough to be listed with Rodgers. He's new and shiny, but can he be consistent and shiny? Regress my you-know-what.
I don't.
Well, I pulled up on it just like Ben Bruss did. But yeah, so I mean, I put Aaron Rodgers at the top of that list.
Well, as his number one supporter, you have to.
I put him number one there. I doubt we could get Jason Wilde to do a 2022 NFL quarterback ranking list, but we'll be damned if we don't try. He joins us next on Scalzo and Bruss. We are presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager since 1982. Light, crisp, and refreshing, and ice cold Bud Light is waiting for you. Oh boy, do we have some Bud Lights this weekend, Joshy. Brewed with four simple ingredients for the highest quality taste. Barley, rice, hops, water for those who live on the light side of life. Make it a Bud Light. You can pick a Bud Light during your next visit to Woodman's, Total Wine, Festival, Walmart, Quick Trip, and Pick and Save. We love Bud Light here on Scalzo and Bruss. Great beer for great people. Jason Wilde joins us next on Scalzo and Bruss.
You're creating a legendary show that has a chance to be its own tradition unlike any other.
Scalzo and Brust.
262 asks, Ben, do you believe in the moon landing?
I know what the moon landing is.
Why did you look at me like that was a trick question?
Because it is.
What the hell?
Hold on. Stop. What's that? Stop.
Okay,
everybody shut up.
Take a breath.
What's the trick?
The moon landing is when you're in a men's locker room and your butts touch each other.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Bud Light. No Ben Bruss today. Justin Garcia, your cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. I'm Greg Scalzo, and we're excited to welcome into the show the man who you hear every day from 9 to noon alongside Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. On Wildy and Tausch, he is Jason Wildy. Jason, I know it's usually recommended, right, in interviews to kind of warm people up and then get to the hard-hitting questions. But we're going to go right to the most pressing question that the people are really concerned about. You tweeted approximately 7 hours ago that you have 3 saved iMessage group texts. And then you went on to name the 3 group texts by the participants in them. We've been debating this as far as what do you mean by having 3 saved iMessage group texts?
Like, I don't ever delete those 3 text chains.
So do you delete all of your other text messages?
I delete a significant percentage of them, yeah. They take up a lot of space in my memory of my iPhone. I'm excited to get a new iPhone with greater memory, but for now, they... If you got attachments and stuff, they take up a lot of space, and I need the space.
For pictures, I'm sure.
Pictures, videos.
Yeah. All right. See, that's kind of what I thought. Justin Garcia, your friend here, was like, he doesn't delete everything. And then we got into a deep conversation about what that could possibly mean.
I definitely delete all my individual conversations with Justin Garcia. I can tell you that right now.
It explains a lot.
It's the best way to not compromise any sort of investigation, yes.
Well, there we go. Maybe Roger Goodell could get involved. Talking with Jason Wildy here. Scalzo and Russ, you were hanging out at Packers practice today. What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway is that while there is certainly the argument to be made that this doesn't really mean all that much, for Matt LaFleur, and maybe you think that, you know, football coaches are all cut from the same cloth, so they just make more out of this kind of stuff than they should. But I thought for a guy who's always very even-keeled and is very slow to lose a little composure, and he didn't lose it. I want to be clear, he didn't lose it today either. But it was impossible not to be able to tell how annoyed he is by the fact that a lot of his veteran players don't come to this. His first year in the NFL was 2008 as a quality control guy. And I certainly have been covering the league since 1996. And more than ever, at least with the Packers, I can't speak for the other 31 teams, but more than ever with the Packers, there's spotty attendance among veterans. And it used to be that these were voluntary in name only. If you didn't show up, technically you couldn't be fined, but it certainly didn't help your standing with the Mike Holmgrens and the Mike McCarthys and the Mike Shermans of the world. And now, you know, whether it's from the last 2 CBAs that were signed in 2011 and 2020, or if it's after the COVID year where no one had an off season, it just doesn't seem to be a big deal to players that they need to be here. So unless they have a financial stake in it, or unless they're a guy like Randall Cobb who has a small financial stake but seems to think it's important for him to be there, then they don't come. Because there were a lot of big-name guys, including Sammy Watkins, who I'm still not sure I understand why he wouldn't come to this, that weren't there today.
So 2 things along those lines then, Jason. Number one, when the Aaron Rodgers situation was resolved, did you expect him to be there at OTAs here in the offseason? And the second part to that is, we talked about the annoyance, and it seemed like LaFleur has this disappointed tone in some of the cuts that we heard played. How much of that do you think is because this is the first time, certainly under LaFleur, and that I can really remember in recent history with the Packers, where all the questions are on the offensive side and not defensive?
Yeah, I think that, to answer your second question first, like, not having a deal done with Alan Lazard, even though he doesn't have anywhere to go now other than to withhold his services without signing his restricted free agent tender, with Sammy Watkins not being there, with Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins and Robert Tonyan there, but in the rehab group as they all come off their various ACL injuries, Aaron Rodgers not being there, I think he does feel like they're not getting enough done on the offensive side of the ball. As far as his disappointed tone, you know, and Tausch likes to tease me because he wants me to flat out say that they've sold their soul to their quarterback. But there is, I think there's an undercurrent with LaFleur of, you know, and he would never say this because he knows he needs Rodgers and they don't want to have anything become acrimonious again. But I think there's got to be at least part of him that says, come on, we just paid you $50 million for this year. Even if you don't throw a pass the entire time you're here, being around these guys, talking to them, explaining to them how you see the game, connecting and bonding with them, I think he would argue that that has value. Now, the reason why Rodgers' absence from OTAs is a little bit different than it was, say, in January when he flat out said that he wasn't planning on taking part in the offseason program and that's not what he needs, is that he went on McAfee on the night of the draft and said specifically that he thought he was going to come for a few days in May and then come to the mandatory minicamp. Well, today's the last day of May. He wasn't there today, and so he'll be here for the mandatory minicamp. My only point to him, and I would say this to his face, I'm not talking to him behind his back with you guys, is that I think you can have an impact being the leader that you are without throwing a single pass at a single practice. And I don't know if he would agree with that or disagree with that, but I think Matt LaFleur would agree with it. I'm pretty sure of that.
Talking with Jason Wilde here on Scalzo and Brust. And Jason, we talk about his targets, the reports out there that Christian Watson had another tough day catching the ball today. I mean, what are you seeing from him? What are you seeing from the other young wide receivers there?
Yeah, he did drop another ball. I mean, look, I here's another problem with the way OTAs are, and I've said this before. I think I might have said it to you guys at this time last week because they had an open OTA last week on Tuesday. You know, they also had an open OTA Monday and Thursday of last week. We get one a week. Now, I have some colleagues who were suggesting that there was no point in us even being there today. And based on the lack of intensity in the 11-on-11 periods, they were probably right. But what I don't like is, and maybe it's happening on the days that we're not there too, but if you're only there once a week, then during the other practices held that week, one guy who stunk on the day that you were there might have had two good practices. And on the flip side, a guy who's terrific the day you're at practice might have been terrible on the other practices during the week. And I use as an example last year's mandatory minicamp when Rodgers obviously was gone because he stayed away all offseason. The first day, Jordan Love had one of the worst practices I've ever seen a quarterback have in all my years of covering practices. And then the next day, he had one of the greatest practices that I have ever seen a quarterback have in my years covering the league. So, you know, which one was actually him? Well, let's be honest, somewhere in the middle and probably a little bit closer to not quite as good is where he probably resides. With Christian Watson, yeah, I've seen every practice I've been to, which is now four, two rookie camp, two OTAs, I've seen him drop a pass. Have I seen Romeo Doubs do that? No, I did not see him drop a pass today. Does that mean that one guy has awesome hands and one guy stinks? No, not necessarily. But it's something that gets your attention and is worth filing away. I'm just not a proponent of tweeting it all out so then people start to develop opinions that may not be entirely fact-based. They may just be selective information-based.
So based on that assessment, the silver lining is not more reps for Jordan Love and what you've seen so far?
I mean, the weird thing, Justin, about these practices is, like, the 11-on-11 stuff is really slow. Like, it's not even, like, half speed. It's less than that. And the most competitive periods are the 7-on-7 when it's quarterbacks, backs, and then tight ends and receivers versus, you know, safeties, corners, and linebackers. So there's no offensive or defensive lines. And that at least is it looks like it's closer to a full speed period. But, you know, as I was saying to Homer earlier today, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. Are they taking these kind of educational, slow speed 11-on-11 periods because there's a bunch of guys that aren't there? Or are there a bunch of guys not there because these periods are slow and they're teaching periods and they're not all that productive and wouldn't be that helpful to guys? But forget all of that. The one guy that I'm just struggling to understand is Sammy Watkins, because he is the new guy. And the idea, whatever his explanation is, I would love the opportunity to hear it, because from where I'm standing on the sideline, I'm not sure that he can come up with one that says, well, wherever he is, unless he's got a sick family member or something like that, wherever he is the best place to be, and not being at these practices. Like, learning the playbook, like, I know that sounds silly, but, like, you guys know this. Like, where are you? I mean, Justin, I know how hard you work in all your preparation for all your Buck shows, but are you more focused if you're at the arena getting ready for a game, or are you more focused if you're sitting in your living room, taking breaks, playing your PlayStation 5 and getting Ashton Rotman calls or texts from him? Like, if you're here and you're immersed in it, you're probably a little more focused in it.
I think the most perplexing thing is he's not exactly on solid ground with the team. Like, it'd be one thing if you had a guaranteed deal and he was the prized acquisition, but it's not a guarantee he's going to make the team.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a $300,000 signing bonus or whatever he got is not a guarantee for him. And one of my colleagues was joking that if he doesn't come in to some of these, that they're going to give his number 11 jersey to Julio Jones when he signs. The fact of the matter is that, you know, if you're Aaron Rodgers or if you're Jair Alexander, you can certainly say that I don't need this to get myself ready, and you're probably right. But I thought it was interesting talking to Kenny Clark after practice, and Kenny Clark, full disclosure, has a $700,000 workout bonus. So he's not coming just because he wants to bond with his teammates. He wants to collect $700,000. Fine. But he did say that both he and Darnell Savage made the point that, you know, they're going out to dinner, they're going to watch the NBA Finals together, they're doing stuff together, and that he believes, he used the word connectedness, which is an Aaron Rodgers word, that there's value in that. And for Aaron Rodgers, who has talked about the importance of connectedness and has talked in the past about how Brett Favre maybe wasn't as connected with younger players the later he got in his career, I would like to ask Aaron next week, if he makes himself available and he's at the mandatory minicamp, if there were some missed opportunities for connectedness by not taking part in OTA.
Jason, who starts at wide receiver, who starts at tight end against the Bears in September?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Robert Tonyan. 10 months would put him at August 28th, which is, what, 14 days before they open up the season?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, based on practice, Smitty, as Tausch likes to call him, Tyler Davis is getting a lot of reps. And the other guy that's ahead of Josiah DeGuara with the ones at the practices we've been at has been Dominique Daphne, who about a year ago at this time was bouncing at a bar in Des Moines.
Ooh. All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Thanks for ending on that high note. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All All right, boys, take care. Be good.
I won't. I'll be on vacation next week, but somebody will be here talking to Jason Wilde. And who knows, it could be Justin Garcia, who's our cousin sub. Today, for Ben Brust, I'm Greg Scalzo. It is Scalzo and Brust. What's the scariest thing that we just heard from Jason Wilde, who was at Packers practice today? Because I don't feel like there was a ton of positivity that came out of that, even though I still think they're more likely to win 13 games this season than to only win 9. So we'll break it down next. It's Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo, and Brust.
Do you know where your pee comes from?
The digestive system?
What are you talking about? It starts in my mouth, goes down the esophagus.
Keep going.
To the stomach, to the small intestine, to the large intestine, to the small or large?
No, that would go out the anus.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Jason Wilde for joining us here on Scalzo and Brust. We're presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. Justin Garcia in for Ben Brust, your cousin sub of the day. I'm Greg Scalzo, Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroff running the show. You can get us on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. There we've got the poll posted from earlier today. What's more likely outcome for the Packers this season? If you had to bet one, pretty much, where would you bet your money? Over 12 wins for the Packers or under 10 wins for the Packers? They're over under in Vegas is at 11. 77% said over 12, only 23% said under 10. However, we just heard from our guy Jason Wilde, and he basically broke it down like this. Aaron Rodgers not being at Packers practice was a huge, or is a missed opportunity to build connectedness with the Green Bay Packers. Christian Watson has dropped a ball every single time Jason Wilde has seen him, which is 4 separate times, and is, maybe not living up to the billing. And the tight end, Josiah DeGuara, who's the third round pick heading into his third year, which is where you'd expect him to step into a starter position with Bobby Tonyan injured, is behind Smitty and
2 UDFAs.
Well, undrafted free agents, for those that don't know what UDFAs are. But you've got an undrafted free agent named Smitty, and who, I'm trying to get this right because I don't want to misquote Jason, somebody who was bouncing outside of a bar in Des Moines at this time last year in Dominique Daphne.
A UDFB.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yes. Which one of those three anecdotes is most concerning for you? Because for me, it's the tight end position. I know everyone's focused on wide receiver, but that's a damning, damning thing. Like, if you go into this season with no real option as a pass catcher at tight end, that's a really scary thing. You at least have guys at the wide receiver position. They might have no wins above replacement whatsoever, but they're guys, right? I mean, you still have Alan Lazard. Randy Cobb's good for a few games out there. I mean, you could still go into the bag of tricks and, like, figure it out. If you're talking about that as your tight end position, that's scary.
We've seen the UDFB at the NFL level before. I mean, 2 catches in each of his previous 2 seasons. So, by that logic, he's in line for about 10 this year.
I think the only hope is that Tyler Davis is just good. That's kind of what you have to bank on.
I mean, they're good enough to get by until Bobby Tonyan comes in, but again, like, where is that coming from other than just we hope that he's good? At least, again, in was that the most concerning thing we heard from Jason for you guys? Was it more about Aaron Rodgers doing the disappearing act and losing out on that opportunity, or Christian Watson, which I know was worrying you earlier, Joshy?
I think it's Christian Watson because I think there's enough question marks on the decision they made in the position the Packers were in to not go for a guy who could be more ready to make an impact as it is. Christian Watson came from a small program that ran the ball heavily, and coming into the draft, the issue was his lack of ability to catch the ball. He had drop issues. Those are a persistent thing. They're still coming up now. People have gotten over it. Devonta Adams has done it. Jamar Chase was a huge storyline last year on how he looked, and even as late as the preseason. But when it's someone
into the regular season,
right? But those guys all had those guys all had the college careers that would make you say, I see what is going on here. Christian Watson became a thing because of the Senior Bowl and because of the way he treated the way he dominated at the combine. So there's not a, like, there's a, not a lot to go off of that guy. And if you're not seeing that right away, how long is it before you end up seeing it? Are you now in a potential spot where your two of your roster spots are wasted on young guys who are making no impact?
I mean, he's a top off defense guy. I mean, like, right? Like, I'm kind of being tongue in cheek with that, and it is concerning. But you have to hope that by December he's able to make contributions, and before then, at some point, it's just, well, if there's the threat that he runs by everybody and catches the ball 60% of the time, is that enough to keep defense on?
Right, but I think by December, you're putting him on a timeline that he's not going to be able to fulfill.
Well, I know, based on reports from four OTA practices. I get it, but that's the most concerning. That's what we're talking about, because right now, the indications are what the indications, and we're making judgments with very small amounts of information, but we at least have the small amounts of information to make judgments on.
Well, in that regard, you would say, well, at least we have Sammy Watkins. So he's the guy to... Oh, wait, he's not here.
He's not here.
I guess the whole...
Well, you could throw the Sammy Watkins piece in there, too, because Jason wasn't...
Just the offense as a whole, to me, is the most concerning thing that you've heard from Jason and from the first couple of days here of OTAs, that the offense, period, end of story, the fact that we don't know where the receptions are going to come from, who's going to take the top off the defense, what is this going to look like? There's a lot of moving parts there. And, oh, by the way, some pretty key pieces aren't there.
Yeah, I mean, you do, but do you think it's possible that this team ends up in the bottom, you know, in the bottom third of NFL offense with Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position? And you've got Aaron Jones and you've got A.J. Dillon? Like, that to me is enough to at least keep you...
Yeah, I don't
top half.
Yeah, I would have a hard time seeing them be in the bottom 10 even. They're not going to drop to 20th, but man, even if they're 15th, if they're in the middle, 15, 16, 14, anywhere in there, that's, you're putting a lot on the defense then at that point.
Right,
and we feel much better about the defense, but it's still, we got to see this defense do it with these younger pieces too.
The nightmare scenario here is the defense is middle of the road, the offense is middle of the road, and they're carried by Aaron Rodgers, and they make it to the playoffs and they kind of whimper out like they did this past playoff.
The nightmare scenario is they're middle of the pack offensively and defensively, and they don't outperform the expected win total, and this is the year where you win 9 or 8 games, and if that's the case.
I mean, Joshy's worst case scenario is basically this team wins the division, they get into the playoffs, and they lose. And I actually think you're right, because the division's that bad. Like, you're going to win the division. That's a pretty damn good nightmare scenario. And if things go right, the defense is good. You add another piece. A wide receiver emerges. Josiah finally lives up to his billing. And all of a sudden, this team is Super Bowl bound. Like, with Rich Bisaccia and that special teams turnaround. It's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Right? It's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. But I guess I'm still not that concerned that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to find a way to score points in the NFL in 2022. And I think that's where I'm not as worried about the offense as a whole as much as I am when I actually dig down individually. And that's a credit probably to Aaron Rodgers, who I believe is the number one quarterback in the league. Justin Garcia has him at number 3 in his official top 5 quarterback rankings on May 31st. 2022.
I just want to make it. I have him as 1B in my personal record book. Maybe we'll reveal 1A later.
I don't know. You're not even getting. I'm not even allowing you. You got to say 1A right now. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Josh. Yeah, I know. He's smitten with Patrick Mahomes. No, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, there's a reason why he's 2-time MVP back to back this last couple of years. Late career renaissance. He's got one or two more of his best years left in him, and this is certainly going to be one of them. We'll get to you, the Scalzo and Bruss family. We'll keep talking Packers, hanging out with Justin Garcia. It is Scalzo and Bruss.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Bruss.
At Scalzo and Bruss, check out the Long Island Laser, courtesy of our intern who put that together. I'm not sure he's the best graphic designer.
Yeah, it's not exactly Mozart. Why are you shocked?
Because he makes music.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Bruss podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Castle and Bras, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. No Ben Bras, Justin Garcia in his place. I'm Greg Scalzo, Alex Trofe, Josh DiMaggio running the show. You, the Scalzo and Bras family. A lot of disagreement with Justin Garcia's top five quarterbacks here on the First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, but also a lot of Josiah DeGuara defamation, including Hilsey, who continues to call him Josiah the Pariah, which is just offensive, although he is behind Dominic Daphne. And somebody who Tausch nicknamed Smitty, which means that Tausch just wants an easy name to remember this tight end by, which means Tausch doesn't think he's going to be on the roster for very long. And those two guys are getting snaps ahead of Josiah DeGuara. So who knows what's happening anymore. I'll tell you what's happening in Madison, Wisconsin in a couple weeks. And it's one of the great weekends in Wisconsin in the summertime. It is American Family Insurance Championship weekend. You can watch PGA Tour champions, including tournament host and Wisconsin native Steve Stricker and two-time defending champion and also Wisconsin guy, Jerry Kelly at the American Family Insurance Championship. The annual tournament makes its return to University Ridge Golf Course in Madison Friday, June 10th through Sunday, June 12th. They're going to have the concert on Friday night with Lady A. You're going to have the celebrity foursome with Brett Favre and Derek Jeter and Andy North on Saturday. It's going to be an amazing weekend, as it always has been. Check it all out, AmFamChampionship.com for more information. To purchase your tickets, that's amfamchampionship.com. Justin Garcia, I heard earlier today on Wilde and Tausch, they were discussing your review of Top Gun. I have yet to see Top Gun. I doubt I will see it in the theaters. Joshy has not seen Top Gun. You are the sole member of the Scalzo and Brust show right now, unless Strophy has, but I feel like young people don't go to movies anymore. Justin Garcia, did it live up to the billing?
I suppose. I mean, I'm not like a huge Top Gun guy. I was just, you should see this in theaters. So, okay, fine. I'll take the bait and I'll go see it. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was really good. I've seen the original. I thought it was better than the original.
Wow.
It was a pretty good experience overall. It was a rare time where Tom Cruise did a really good job of acting.
Wait, so, seriously? You're not a Tom Cruise guy?
No. You are?
Dude, he's the greatest movie star still alive right
great.
Now.
Great. Like, sure. He's not good.
Oh, he's a great actor. He's a great actor.
Joshy?
I don't agree that he's a great actor, by any means.
Get Joshy out of the conversation.
No, absolutely not.
Because Josh's taste in movies is an invaluable resource best. Here. Josh would rather go and see the thespian performers out there. Like, he's not going to be Daniel Day-Lewis. That's not what you're asking of Tom Cruise.
I don't need him to be Daniel Day-Lewis. I need him to be somebody other than Ethan Hunt in every single movie.
Ethan Hunt in every single movie. You go back to the early movies. I mean, him and Risky Business are
great.
Cocktail.
We're going back 40 years.
Oh, yes.
Name me something that's happened
Mission
in the last
Impossible.
20 years.
He's phenomenal.
Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt or Ethan Hawke?
Hawke is the actor. Ethan Hunt is who he plays.
Oh, you're
in
saying
Mission
he's
Impossible.
Ethan Hunt in everything.
Right.
I mean, look, Tom Cruise is supposed to be movie star action hero.
Sure.
And he does it better than anybody.
I'm afraid
better
not.
Better than The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson has eclipsed
get
it.
Get The Rock out of my face. No. Absolutely.
The Rock puts Tom Cruise in his pocket.
Yeah, no, he does not. You guys then don't understand acting. If you want to talk about acting, you're distracted by the muscles of one, The Rock. Tom Cruise is the greatest American movie star.
First of all, The Rock was
existence.
A wrestler. Dwayne Johnson is the actor. So I think he'd be the first to point it out.
I don't think he would. I feel like he's plenty happy sticking with The Rock. I'm shocked right now. Tom Cruise is amazing at what he does. He is. Again, to me, the last great American movie star.
Leo.
I disagree. Wrong. I don't think Leo could draw this box office for a movie like that. We've got On the Tee coming up next in Milwaukee, Spade and Fitz and Madison. Thank you to Justin Garcia, even though he's got horrible taste in movie stars.